Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, who's had the worst whiteout over the past few weeks? The Bills or Penn State?
I think it's got to be Penn State, right? Because that loss really is signaled the beginning of the end.
I don't know, man.
But the Bills, oh boy.
That was a disaster, Bob. I'll tell you what,
well,
Drake
but that's
May.
That's a good team, though. I mean, up and coming.
I was wrong about the Patriots. I've been wrong about a lot at the start of the NFL season. You've been right about a lot, Bob. And I commend you for that.
And that's
for
why now, we pay you the big bucks.
For now, and it'll probably change because it always does. But
Baker Mayfield might very well be the MVP right now. Are you aware of that, Bob?
I am aware. That's why I thought he would be, because he has this thing. You're talking about swagger. We've been talking about what Drew Aller doesn't have and should is the swagger.
Swagger.
Baker Mayfield
or
makes
it. Or as Ron Cook said,
swagger.
Remember he said that?
Yeah.
Were you there for that, Limits?
No, I did not hear the
I remember
swagger
that,
comment.
Swagger. But we
Slugger.
Got what he was making, what he, you know, what his reference was.
We got
was.
What he was putting
yeah,
down.
But
I'll tell you who else is an MVP candidate that nobody talks about.
Danny Dimes.
Well, him, but I think people are starting to talk about him. Matthew Stafford has 11 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a 107.3 rating.
It's pretty good.
He is really good, and they're really good.
How about Puka Nacua maybe
and
setting
I was wrong
all
about,
sorts of
now,
records?
He might be an MVP candidate.
Be. Yeah, he might be.
I was wrong about them, too.
He's on pace to destroy the reception record and the yardage record.
I quit.
So,
I think I'm going to quit.
No, I mean it is fun and games. That's all we're doing. By the way, you have a. I shouldn't say this word too loud because people are out there who play golf know this word. It starts with an S, and you're having one of those problems right
What's
now.
What's that? I thought it started with a Y called the yips.
No, shanks.
Shanks.
The shanks. Shank
upon. What happened? I was at the range yesterday
so,
hitting the ball
I'm gonna
great.
I'm going to show you.
And then I started hitting little chips like 10 yards, 20 right. yards, and the ball went directly to my right on the ground, and then I couldn't get out of it. I hit 20 in a row, and none of I don't know what happened.
Well, on my computer, I have PGA Shanks on YouTube because I saw this the other day. You'll see guys who make a lot of money do what you just did, and they're here. So in the break, you come over and look at this, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
But theirs
about.
Are so, only one shot.
Sometimes it's multiple.
Mine was
one
20 in a row
another.
At the range, and I left in a rage. I couldn't get out of it.
But the point is, Joe, it happens to everybody.
I quit that, too. I'm quitting everything. I have an NFL quiz for you before we get into the Penguins, if you guys don't mind. Would you like
Go
that
right
limits
ahead.
About a quarter of a way into
Please.
The season? Who has been intercepted the most in the NFL so far this season?
I would say Geno Smith, because he's been ugly.
I was going to say wrong, but right, Bob.
Oh.
Geno Smith.
I've watched enough of their games because that's one of the picks I did not have right. I thought they were going to be a wild card team, and right now they look anything but.
I was going to say Jake Browning, and he's played 2 fewer games.
Oh, my God, is he horrific. Who's been sacked the most, Limits? Wrong.
Wait.
Matthew Stafford.
Wrong.
I would say Joe Burrow if he was still healthy. He might be getting sacked in his sleep the way things go over there. You know, he's,
Cam Ward, 19 times. That is incredible. 19
that's
times
on,
for 136 yards.
That's on David Carr.
Yeah.
A rate.
Yeah. Who leads the league in completion percentage among quarterbacks, Bob?
Sam Darnold?
Nope, but that's close. Very close, and I commend you for that.
Wrong.
Limits?
Mac Jones.
Wrong. Jared. Well, you can't. It has to be someone who qualifies. Jared Goff at 75.2. How about average yards per attempt? In other words, the guy who's getting the ball down the field the most.
Baker Mayfield.
Wrong. Limits? Wrong.
I'm going to say Josh Allen.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, Sammy.
You should have stuck with your Sam Darnold guns, Really?
You did. You jumped off that ship.
You jumped
in a hurry,
off the SS Darnold too early limits.
I didn't jump off him.
You
in
jumped
general.
Off.
I jumped off him to the Steelers, and I should have never jumped off that.
Who leads the NFL in passer rating, Bob? Wrong. Lamar Jackson. Did you know that?
Okay, but he missed a game. Did he qualify?
He still qualifies at 130.5. Even when this guy's playing not his best, look at the numbers for him.
No, it's
he
incredible.
Has 10 touchdowns, one interception, and 130 passer rating. He completes 71% of his passes, and he's probably run for a couple hundred yards. He is just ridiculous. And yet here they sit at 1-4. And yet this wasn't what we were supposed to talk about at the top of the hour.
But it's always good.
Bob, I have more questions for you in limits, and I think this is informative for our
are we going to take a trip?
Loyal listeners.
We haven't taken a trip for a while.
Who has the longest reception in the NFL this season? Wrong.
Puka Nacua.
No.
Wrong. DK Metcalf, 80 yards.
Tutu Atwell, 88 yards.
Ooh. Tutu.
Stick that in your tutu and smoke it, Bob. Who has the most touchdown receptions in the league this season?
George Pickens.
No, but he's tied for second with five.
Puka Nacua?
No.
Think, Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Think Lions.
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra, Sun Brown. Yep.
You're both right. Who's been targeted the most in the NFL all season long?
Puka Nacua.
Yes, sir. 62 times. You did that better than Limits did, Bob. Who leads the whole league in average yards per catch? The biggest big play guy of them all, Bob. Wrong.
This might be George Pickens.
No, it's not. It's close. Bob? Jameson?
DK Metcalf? No.
He's up there. DK Metcalf leads the league in yak. Did you know that,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, yak. And most of it was on that one play in Dublin.
Well, he's had a couple of others that he's taken.
Yeah,
decent
but
distance.
That, but 80 yards, you know, whatever it was, because the pass was like, you know, 15 yards, 10 yards down the field.
Jameson Williams at 20.3. Who has had the most big play catches, which I believe is 20 yards or more?
Wrong. Puka Nacua.
Very close, but no. Limits?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Very good, with 10 of them. And Egbuka, who looks like he's going to be the offensive rookie of the year.
By far.
Oh, my God, is he good?
Baker Mayfield trusts him a lot and puts him in, and he doesn't drop anything. He's really good.
Holy
when Mike Evans
milk.
Gets back, watch out. They're going to hit you with three wide receivers, and the way they play defense, although yesterday was not a good example of that, they're still capable.
This is helpful to us all, Bob. It helps me, you, Limits, and all our listeners get up to date on the NFL a quarter of the way through, because some of this I wasn't aware of. Who leads the NFL in sacks?
Oh.
Wrong. Nick Benito. From Denver. No relation to Nick Bonino.
Bonino.
With seven. Who leads the league in tackles for loss? Two familiar faces.
Nick Herbig.
No. Miles Garrett and Max Crosby are tied at eight. Who leads the league in passes defensed? Wrong.
Cameron Hayward.
Drew Phillips from the New York Giants.
Never would have guessed that.
And now we're getting to the point where nobody cares. Who leads the league in tackles? Wrong. Jordan Brooks from the Miami Dolphins.
I would never have guessed that either.
I would have guessed Devin Bush.
And now we've hit rock bottom. So let's move on to the Penguins, shall we? This is an interesting time for the franchise. It's an interesting time for Kyle Dubas. We don't know if there are going to be new owners very shortly. It seems like a time of wild uncertainty. Are they in it to win at the beginning of this year? Are they in it to try to get the top pick and Gavin McKenna, who we have to go see play, Bob? Are you going to go see him
play? I watched his games at Arizona State this weekend, and his one-timer from the right circle as nasty as any shot. Top shelf. I mean, right over – the goalie had no shot, and it was as quick a release as you're going to find.
So really we see good. A couple young guys on the roster. I like that. A couple teenagers. We see them basically – move on from Ryan Graves, and thank God for that. I mean, the two contracts that Kyle Dubas signed worth over $50 million to Tristan Jarry and Ryan Graves were just somewhere in a land far beyond disastrous. But my big disappointment to open the season is in goal, where Sergei Muroshov should be the guy. Because Kyle Dubas said, and he put in a little qualifier, I'll give him that, but it wasn't much of one. At the beginning of camp, he said, and I quote, the best two goalies, the way they perform in camp, and we deem as best for their development. And I guess that's the little qualifier. But he added, but notably the way they perform at camp and preseason will determine who the goalies are that start with the Penguins, their contract situations. None of that matters. That was Dubas sort of talking tough before the season, like, hey, the best players are going to play around here. Young, old, contract, no contract. And he sort of lived up to that, except in the goalie competition where the guy who was clearly the best day-to-day, you read and listen to Josh Yoey and anyone else who covers that team or anyone else who's over there. They'll tell you that Murashov was the best guy, and then we all saw it in the preseason when he had a .935 save percentage. Imagine the drama at the beginning of this season when you walk into the Garden, the world's most famous arena, and it's Murashov at one end and his countryman Igor Shesterkin at the other, and it's Mike Sullivan against the Penguins. I feel like we've been robbed of a dramatic moment to start the season. There have been other guys. I know that Murashov only has, I think, 17 games of AHL experience, but he is 21. There have been many, many goalies younger than him and with scant AHL experience who have played and performed well in the NHL. Tommy Barrasso won a Vezina right out of high school.
Yeah, he did.
Now, he was a phenom.
In Buffalo.
But that's my point. Who's to say this kid isn't? I wanted him to be the goalie, Bob. I'm disappointed in that decision.
Me too, but I, regardless of what he said there, I think the money certainly came into play. There's no reason that Tristan Jarry, based on everything we've seen, because he looked lazy and not as good in the last time we saw him in the preseason. If it's strictly on performance, then he shouldn't be there, but he's there because of a reason.
Bob, he exudes the countenance of Eeyore on Quaaludes. I mean, it's just like...
Don't you think that's the reason? It has to be the reason. He's paid, and they want to try to figure out a way
course,
to get him out of here.
Yeah, of course, and I thought we were beyond that. And when the GM talks so tough about the best guys are going to play no matter what, we've got to look at that again?
No, and Artur Shelov was his trade. He's not going to not let him on the roster. He's 24. They like him. He was in Vancouver. So those two predicaments made it almost impossible for Sergei Murashov to be up here. And I agree with you. I'd rather have the guy.
Nothing's impossible. The Shelovs, can you send him to the minors?
I just think because they traded for him, he was going to have a spot on this roster as a backup.
I just want the best guys to play. I mean,
is Blomqvist injured? Is that why we don't hear his name anymore?
I just think that the way things went last season, they sort of soured a little bit, it would appear. Which
yeah, but he's still young, and he's still a guy they brought up here. And thought,
I just never took him seriously as one of the candidates.
No, but I think Murashov earned the right. I think you're right. The save percentage tells it all. The way he plays with confidence, you can tell he's up for it. But for whatever reason, that's not. Now, if things don't go well to start the season, that may give them more reason not to bring him up here. You know?
Sometimes it depends
on how they play.
Sometimes these guys are better off at the highest level and not at AAA, so to speak. Look at Bubba Chandler. I think he got bored and angry.
That's what I said.
And he started to struggle, and then he came to the majors, and except
lit
for one start, he was great.
Right.
This guy should be at the highest level now.
I think Connor Griffin's going to be in that same boat. He's going to be ready whenever they tell him. So, yeah. I agree. I thought he was going to be the starting goaltender based on what we saw in the preseason, but that did not happen. So,
and I hate to get on the let's see if Jarry can play well so we can trade him train. How about we just play the best guys and see where – I want to see Sid and the kids, and I want it to be the most deserving kids and see where it goes.
But why do you think he's there, Tristan Jarry?
Probably because of the money.
Right.
Or because they want to see if he gets off to a good start so they can get rid of that money.
Yep.
And that's, to me, at some point, you got to be beyond that. You made a horrible mistake that you're not getting out
of. Well, they did it with Ryan Graves. They went beyond
they
it.
Did.
And,
they
and,
did.
And I thought because I saw that, it would lead to Jarry in the same boat.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think Jari can play at a level that some teams would want to have. I still think there's a trade partner out there at some point for him. They may have to eat some of the money, but I think they'll be okay with that. Just take some of it and clear the way, because Mirashov has to play here at some point.
Yeah, and poor Mirashov. He's now stuck where Ryan Graves is going to be playing in front of him in Wilkes-Barre. What
All
else stands out?
The goals against goes up, so does his save percentage.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, we went through this with Fleury all those years ago. And I also hear the argument, oh, he comes up to the NHL too soon and he gets hammered and you send him down, then you crush the guy's confidence. If that's what crushes his confidence, then he wasn't the guy anyway. And that's Fleury was on a shuttle from Wilkes-Barre to Pittsburgh early in his career. Mostly for financial reasons. And everybody used to worry, including me. Oh, my God, what's this going to do to this guy? Nothing, as it turned out. He turned out pretty good. If Mirashov is the guy you think he is, then bring him up here and put him between the pipes no matter what you have to do. And let's blank and go here, yeah. Bob. Let's go.
Well, I mean, they've done that with Ben Kindle, who's 18. They have him up here. They have Harrison Brunick up here. He's 19. Two guys are drafted in the last 2 years. The question there is how much will they play? I'm going to be very curious how they get in this lineup and how much, because you might remember when Jordan Staal was first here in Pittsburgh, they had the same thing. He had an impressive camp. He was 18-year-old. They brought him up, and you can play 9 games, and if you don't like what they see, they can send him to his junior team. Well, in Jordan's case, he was—
Or they have to keep him the whole
year. Or they have to keep him the whole year. So in Jordan's case, they kept him the whole year because he forced that move.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these guys will do the same, or you can find out in those games that maybe they need more time.
So. I think Dubas has to be careful because it's a sensitive time for the franchise and the fans right now. They could be really bad, and you need to be able to believe the GM when he's telling you things like, and I know he threw in the qualifier, but he basically intimated that the best goalie was going to leave camp and be the starter. You got to be careful with that, I think, with fans.
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, they're in a situation where they haven't made the playoffs for 3 straight years. They need... I think people want to be told the truth. Just keep it transparent. There's nothing wrong with knowing that you're in a rebuild.
Just don't address the goalies. Just say, yeah, I mean, we obviously have two guys that we like. We have maybe some developmental guys. We'll see where it goes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to come out and say what he said, which is basically we'll take the best guy. What if they get off to a rotten start, Bob? If you're Dubas, what's your move? Do you trade Raquel, Rust, who's hurt again? Carlson, and that's the risk,
I'm
by the way.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. I really am. I thought this offseason would result in those trades.
Is the Pat Brisson sound off part and parcel of keeping those guys? Because I have to believe if he made his feelings public that A, Sid would have known about it, and B, Dubas says him and Brisson talk all the time. I'm sure that was relayed to Kyle Dubas, basically that we want to win sooner rather than later. And we're really not looking forward to trading Sid's line mates, basically, right? Don't you think
absolutely.
That's
think
been
that
conveyed in so many words?
In other words, they want, as an agency, Sidney Crosby to perform in big stakes games. And they cannot watch another year, I don't think, of him missing the playoffs. He wants to get that opportunity. I think the Penguins, I think everybody wants that opportunity. I hope we haven't seen the last time Sidney Crosby's
So how do you handle
game.
It? How do you handle if they start 3-10?
Well, it may be something involving Sidney. I mean, it's up to him. If he doesn't like what's going on around him, and you know, if they do trade a Raquel or Carlson or any of those guys, it's going to indicate what we all know, and that they're trying to further build the rebuild. So, therefore, if that's the case, then I wonder if Sidney Crosby wants to hang around for it. He may still think this team is good enough to compete for a playoff spot. That's what he wants. He wants to be in the playoffs where he can do his magic. But it may not get to that point.
Man, it's a very hard line to walk.
Would you have traded Raquel by now or
yes,
Carlson by now?
Yes, I would have traded Raquel at last year's deadline when he was a premium asset before he goes back to his up and down nature through his whole career. Trade him while it's up. Trade Russ before he gets hurt again like he already has. the fact that Carlson here is nothing less than mind-blowing that he's still here. And by the way, I was surprised in the preseason that Malkin didn't completely shut the door on going to another team. Like, I thought he was going to say, no, this is it. Or if I'm going to play after this year, it's going to be with Pittsburgh. He seemed to be open to ideas of playing elsewhere. So,
well, Miami being one of the places down in Sunrise, right. Florida, that could be, and with Barkov off,
exactly.
A lot of people have intimated that could be a place for him. They've signed all of their guys through the year 20 and 30. All the key guys in Florida are signed, and that includes Brad Marchand to the year 2031.
He might be a perfect guy for them.
If that's what they're looking to get.
So on one hand, and this is what I mean with Dubas, it's a very difficult position, especially with the background of a looming ownership change. Do you still want to pay premium money for the Penguins if you think Sidney Crosby's not going to be here? I don't know. But then how do you handle the team in the meantime? With that, is that pressure weighing on you if you're Dubas? And Sid lets it be known that hey, this might not work for me. Let's say they've traded Raquel and Rust, which they should do. If it doesn't appear they're going to be like last year's Capitals where they surprise people.
And how about if they are?
Well, then you have a whole different.
How about if the coach makes that big of a difference? Yeah. And Dan Muse comes in here and has a system that they work with and they thrive in, and that includes not just the elite players, but the other ones.
I wouldn't write off that possibility. I'm not predicting it or
what
expecting it.
What percentage would you give it?
20?
I'd say 20, yeah. 20%. I mean, because it can happen. If it does, it would be very, very interesting to see what happens after that.
I mean, I just wonder, though.
And then if you come at the trade deadline, you want to bring people in.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the rebuild's on the hold for a little bit.
It's a very, very strange situation that they're in, and it's very complicated because you have this great all-time legend on your team who's still at the top of his game.
Right. And that's the thing. He can make everybody around him better, too. Koivunen's going to play with him, I think, or at least should. If he doesn't, I would be surprised. He's with Rust out, he's a guy who he understands Sidney Crosby. You could tell the way when they're on the ice together, there's some sort of chemistry there.
Is Kyle Dubas giving this team its best chance to win with Jari and Shelovs as the goaltending combo? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I would rather have Shelovs and Muroshov, but he's not made that decision. So that contract still weighs heavily in this, and we'll see. It would be Muroshov starting against Shesterkin, and he would be my primary guy, and I would go to Shelovs, although I think Shelovs has the potential to become a good...
Maybe. He might.
You never know.
4-1-2.
It's nice to have a whole bunch of them. By the way, did you see Philip Gustafson, the contract he got from Billy Guerin?
No, what did he get?
This is after they gave a ridiculous amount of money to Kirill Kaprizov, $17 million a year, and then Guerin turns around, and Gustafson was here in this system in Pittsburgh, and so he was traded for Derek Brassard. And now he's the number one goalie. He signed for, I think, $6 or $7 million a year.
Yeah. Well, let's do a mini time capsule next, why don't we, Bob, on the NHL.
I mean, the season's starting. Here's another good question
for
you.
And we're not going to see Bob tomorrow, so we need to do a time capsule limits. And by the way, did you save our baseball time capsule by any chance? That's why they don't call it a time capsule for nothing.
I don't know if I want to hear this.
I'm going to dig it up from underground, and we'll have it shortly.
Oh, boy. We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour.
It's always laughable.
What did you say, Bob?
It's always laughable.
You saw something?
No, I said $17 million for Kaprizov, and then Gustafson, who could have been the goalie here right now. He was that good, and he was that well thought of. It took him a while, but now he's established himself as one of the best in the game.
Well, that makes me think of Sid, too. Isn't this so tricky? Because Crosby has given the franchise back millions and millions of dollars to enable it to put a team around him. So if you're him and the team is torn down around you, don't you also feel sort of betrayed in a way, fairly or unfairly?
Yeah, I think it's not something by design. It kind of happens when you have a team that was that
good. I'm talking
good.
If they trade Raquel and Rust.
Oh, well then, yes. If that's the case and you have a bunch of kids and you're not going to get to that level you want to get to in the playoffs, that's what maybe Pat Brisson was intimating. And if it doesn't happen, if they trade, that's a tough position to be in. There's no question. And it will depend on how the season goes, I think. But I'm hoping they play competitive. I want to see competitive hockey. I want to see guys like the Washington Capitals shock the world here. Come out and play with names that you haven't heard of who contribute.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.